Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Tonight is going to be fun. We are talking about powerful perceptions. Doesn't that get your mind turning? What is real and what we think is real? You know, Eckhart Tolle, who is usually beyond deep, said, "Words reduce reality to something the human mind can grasp, which isn't much." We will get into that and so much more tonight. I will also be featuring the music of independent singer-songwriter Curtis Bottrell from Kankakee, Illinois. Curtis would describe his sound as a folk rock hybrid, at its core with influences ranging from Latin, Motown, alternative, indie, country, and more. He's been lucky enough to play many styles throughout his career and tries to incorporate them freely into the material he writes now. I know you're going to enjoy these musical breaks. So, I'm sure you've heard perception is reality. I think it's on a bunch of memes everywhere. What do you think that means? Is it one of those things your parents say to scare you, like, if you keep frowning, your face will get stuck like that? Or if you drink that, it will put hair on your chest? Well, wait, I guess that one really wouldn't scare everyone off. What people perceive is usually what they believe. And this is based on what they hear, see, think, and feel. It works both ways. Your perception is your reality. And the way you present yourself, say, and do becomes someone else's reality. Do you think all tall men are good at basketball? How about all introverted guys with glasses know how to fix your computer? Do all blondes really have more fun? I mean, we could go on and on with references of physical perception, but the fact is they aren't always true. I used to work with a guy who was 6'6". We worked together for years. He was well-built and obviously looked like he had to be good at sports. Everyone he met when we traveled said something about basketball, but he actually played in the band. You should have seen their eyes and their judgment. Whoa, what a waste of height. What do you think people's perception are of you? Some people will say, "I don't care what people think about me." But that simply isn't true. We want everyone to take away our most valued characteristics, like kindness, sincerity, generosity, compassion. Are you currently presenting that side of yourself? Or are you limiting your possibilities by limiting beliefs? Limiting beliefs are ideas that we form early in life. We decide or come to believe them, sometimes consciously, sometimes not. But however they come to us, they limit us. They run our lives. They prevent us from becoming who we wish to become, doing what we wish to do, and having what we wish to have. These are very dangerous perceptions. In the past couple of decades, numerous studies have shown that what we perceive, how we feel emotionally in any situation, and how we perform is completely tied to what we believe when we were growing up. Some limiting beliefs are obvious, like, "I'm not good enough, smart enough, or attractive enough." Or the flip side is, "I'm too fat, I'm too old, I'm too slow." Those are clearly limiting beliefs as well. Some other limiting beliefs might be, "It'd be really tough to find a new job in this economy. People don't like someone who talks too much. A man who's been in prison isn't trustworthy." Subtle, but these judgments are very limiting. Your limiting beliefs can shape everything you do. They can prevent you from seeing opportunities and maybe even discourage you from trying anything at all. Anything you say to yourself to justify why it isn't working out for you is a limiting belief. Have you thought about it that way? Let's break it down. If you're bogged down with financial pressures, for example, how do you feel about it? Are you anxious, angry, hopeless? If you stay with that emotion and acknowledge it for a moment, you'll find the limiting beliefs are right below the surface. For example, anxiety might be something like, people are going to think I'm a loser. Or anger might sound something like, life isn't fair to people like me. Or underneath hopelessness, you might find things like, I'm too stupid to manage money. What are some of the limiting beliefs that you might have? Here are a few more that you might have in your belief system. See if you identify with these. I'm not blank enough. I mean, you could fill in the blanks with whatever you want there. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I don't have a purpose in this life. It's dangerous to be better than everyone else. Everyone else has it easier than I do. Is that something that you think? Only after I get blank can I be happy. That's a scary one. Life is too hard. My blank is to blame for everything that is wrong in my life. Relationships are too painful. I can't be happy alone. Those are just some of the limiting beliefs that really keep us from seeing the bigger potential. Perception is reality, and if we buy into those beliefs, we'll never go any further. Every time we get to take a step further, we'll rely on one of those beliefs and we'll take a step backwards, maybe even two or three. So how can we break through those beliefs and really understand what's going on? Well, we're going to cover that when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit more, obviously, about understanding powerful perceptions, but we're going to take a musical break and we're going to listen to the first song from Curtis. So Curtis attended Alderson Broadus College on a percussion scholarship. He has played in bands in West Virginia, Kentucky, Wisconsin, and now in Illinois. Lyrically, he takes heavy influence from writers such as Paul Simon and Bob Dylan, trying to write with honesty and the world as he experiences it. But he's also trying to keep these things relatable to everyone else. Even through the content, his content is largely autobiographical, but Curtis makes it a point to really relate his songs from many points of view, as many as he can see. And this song called The Quilt, is called No Mind.
Was a time not too many years ago when our stock was high and our pockets full. We swore to God our love would never fall away. But time went on as it tends to do, and you piss away a bill or two. And now even a politician needs a place to stay. No, I don't know. No, I don't know if we'll ever find our way. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever find our way. Ever find our way.
welcome back to Encouragementology. Hopefully you are joining us tonight and you just heard Curtis Bottrell sing No Mind, available on The Quilt. And you can find his music on iTunes and also on SoundCloud. He is now relocated down to the area, and so you will be hearing him a little bit more of him later. So if you are just tuning in to Encouragementology, we are talking about understanding powerful perceptions. They're everywhere, aren't they? You don't even know that it's a perception. You obviously think it's a reality until you're faced kind of head on with a conflicting view. And you might challenge yourself and think, gosh, that's not what I've always thought to be true. And actually, that's a good thing to do because that's going to break through some of those perceptions that might linger and really be limiting your beliefs. Dr. Matt James is president of the Empowerment Partnership, where he serves as a master trainer of neuro-linguistic programming, a practical behavioral technology for helping people achieve their desired results in life. He suggests a few ways to start changing these habits, these limiting beliefs. Number one, write that belief down. Play detective. Really follow your thoughts and emotions to discover the limiting beliefs that are holding you back. Put them on paper and really stare at them. Stare them right in the face. Take note of how strong each belief is and what emotions they elicit in you. You know, sometimes seeing it right there written down can really make you pause and take another look at it. Number two is acknowledge that these beliefs are not always truths. This is often the hardest step. You know, you're more interested in defending your limitations to death than really achieving your goals. Author Evelyn Waugh said, when we argue for our limitations, we get to keep them. I mean, you choose. Which would you like to do? Go to bat for something that really isn't true? Or maybe look at it another way. Step three is try on a different belief. Use your imagination and try on a belief that is aligned with what you want. It may be something like, my financial difficulties in the past have taught me so much that I'm fully prepared to handle them now. Or, now that I've been in an unhealthy relationship, I've learned what to look for in a happy, loving partner. The trick is to go beyond just saying it. You know, you really want to step into this new belief and see how it feels. If that's done thoroughly, steps two and three will go a long way to dismantling your old limiting belief system. Now, step four is to take action. This might feel scary, but act as if your new belief is true. In other words, if you really are the kind of man that women adore, how would you act at parties? Who might you ask out? If you really are capable and have learned a tremendous amount of financial knowledge, what steps will you take next? If you really are the kind of person who eats healthy food, what will you put in your grocery cart? If you avoid taking steps based on this new belief, you'll just feed into your old limiting belief. Taking actions, even the smallest step, will help you solidify your new unlimiting decision. Your first steps don't have to be perfect. They just have to be headed in the right direction. You know, take on the belief system that you want to have in the future. Really act it out. Step into it and become that. Tony Robbins says, you always succeed in producing a result. You always succeed in producing a result. Now, what he means by that is, the result you get is exactly the result you produce. It's not a mistake. Consciously or unconsciously, what you get is based on what you believe. Something to think about there. How we feel about something is entirely dependent on our perception of it. Misfortune is a point of view. That is to say, good and bad things happen to every person on the planet. But how we react to them, be it positively or negatively, is in our hands. You know, we tend to frame things based on how we perceive them in the past. But changing these habitual perception patterns through a process called reframing you can get the most useful frame for any experience so you can turn it into something that works for you instead of against you, and learn how to change your situation for the better. So you can reframe the context of a situation or the content. You know, we've all heard the saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. So this is an example of reframing the situation. How you can take something perceived as negative and turn it around and look for the advantage. Positive reframing takes the stress out of stressors. When we reframe, we look at the same situation but in a new way that highlights possibilities rather than threats. Elizabeth Scott is a wellness coach. She specializes in stress management and quality of life issues and is the author of 8 Keys to Stress Management. She offers the following reframing strategies. Now, you know when someone always says, turn that frown upside down, or see the silver lining, look through the clouds and see the silver lining. That's just another example of reframing. It's just changing the way that you see it so that you see the possibilities. So the first thing you can do to reframe is examine what's stressing you. Rather than ruminating in feelings of frustration and helplessness, look at your situation with fresh eyes. What aspects of your situation are stressing you the most? What needs do you have that aren't being met? Where do you feel a lack of control? Just become aware of what's truly going on. Really examine it. Instead of the knee-jerk reaction, take a moment and really see what's going on. Then look for what you can change. Now, this step may seem obvious, but it's not. And it's not always done. When you reframe, you change your perspective on things. When looking for what you can change, you can brainstorm as many possibilities as you can. Now, you want to do that without judgment right away. So anything is possible. Instead of thinking, I wish I could change this, or can I change this? Try thinking, how can I change this? You may not be able to change everything, but with a positive reframe of the situation, you could definitely see possibilities where they weren't really presenting themselves before. So even that statement is an example of reframing in itself. Changing what can I do to here is what I'm going to try. One is static and one is forward moving. So really taking action in that reframing. The next one is to look for benefits. If you're in a situation you truly can't change, or if there are aspects that you can't change, you can reframe your thoughts and change the way you feel about its findings, the benefits, the situation that you might face. What opportunities might you find amidst all the rubble? What strengths might you have gained by simply working through this? When you're looking for benefits, it doesn't mean you gloss over the negative. You simply notice positives as well, and then you focus on those. In sales, we do this all the time. Highlight your strengths, downplay your weaknesses. Next is find humor. Have you ever felt that someday you'll look back at this and you'll laugh? Why can't someday be today and laugh now? When you reframe humor, you can find the aspects in the situation that are so absurd that you can't help but laugh. You can often turn the most stressful aspects of any situation into the funniest, and then share those bits of humor with your closest friends or your 600 Facebook closest friends, and receive support in the form of shared laughter. Pass it on. Find the humor in a stressful situation and then benefit from the laughter as you just reframe that funny situation. You know, my mom has a natural way of laughing at herself. Like the time she drove off with a custom birthday cake on the roof of her car. Now, she could have cried, and I'm sure she did, but she turned it into laughter just thinking how absurd it looked for this beautiful custom cake to be in the middle of a busy highway. You know, or the time she fell during a work potluck and she got up with potato salad covering her glasses. Now, she could have cowered away, hoping no one saw that and never speak about it again, but it became part of her story and just a funny tale that adds a lot of color to her life. So plummet a lemon at my mom and she will catch it one-handed, slice it up, and add some tequila with a twist of lime. So she definitely knows how to turn a situation into a really funny story. Can you think of some stressful times you've had that now could give you a good laugh? Maybe after you got over the problem, you can look back and find the humor. So I'm going to let you think about that as we take another musical break. Again, we are listening to Curtis Petrell, independent singer-songwriter. He is now relocated in Carbondale. He moved back down here 7 months ago and is still looking towards booking his first show in the area. He's currently playing with a trio that involves his father, Andy Petrell, on guitar and Andrew Guyton on bass. Both are members of the band The Sole Proprietors. You should have an opportunity to hear them starting sometime in February. So I hope you're getting a good taste of his music tonight so that when you see his name out there, you'll be sure to show up for a show. So the next song we're going to listen to is Mercy Show Some Kindness, which is on The Quilt. Get meaner with thank you so much for joining me tonight. We are talking about powerful perceptions, and we are also featuring independent singer-songwriter Curtis Petrell. I hope you loved that song. I really, really like that song. So I hope you enjoyed it, and you will look him up after the show. We have one more tune from him, so please stay with us as we talk about powerful perceptions. Now, before the break, we were talking about some different ways to handle those, and we ended it on humor, how we can actually laugh at ourselves. And I was telling you some ways that my mom has found to laugh at herself. And now we laugh with her and at her, so it's a good time. Rachel Hollis is an American author, motivational speaker, and blogger, and she has a book out called Girl, Wash Your Face. I am currently listening to it on Audible. Thank you, Kristen. She sent that over to me, and it has been amazing. She is fun, quirky, and full of inspiration, drive, and resilience. She offers this perspective. What if life isn't happening to you? What if the hard stuff, the amazing stuff, the love, the joy, the hope, the fear, the weird stuff, the funny stuff, the stuff that takes you so low you're lying on the floor crying and thinking, how did I get here? What if none of this is happening to you? What if it's all happening for you? It's all about perception. Perception means we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. Take a burning house. To a fireman, a burning house is a job to do, maybe even his life's work or mission. For an arsonist, a burning house is something exciting and good. But what if it's your house? What if it's your family who's standing outside watching every earthly possession they own burning up? That burning house becomes something entirely different. You don't see things as they are. You see things through the lens of what you think and feel and believe. Perception is reality. And I'm here to tell you that your reality is colored much more by your past experiences than by what is actually happening to you. If your past tells you that nothing ever works out, that life is against you, and that you'll never succeed, then how likely are you to keep fighting for something you want? Or on the flip side, if you quit accepting no as the end of the conversation whenever you run up against opposition, you can shift your perception and fundamentally reshape your entire life. Pretty interesting thought. What if it's not happening to you, but it's happening for you? That really changes your perception, and it can be that simple. One tiny switch, one little movement in a different direction can make things seem totally different. You know, we get so rooted, we've said this over and over again tonight, but we get so rooted in one way of thinking. And you go to a therapist and they listen to the way that you think, and then they slightly turn it maybe a couple of degrees to the right. And all of a sudden, there's an awakening and you're seeing it totally different. So if that's the case, how many current beliefs could you really challenge? Have you ever thought about how you want to be perceived? Maybe you've heard this one. Dress for the job you want, not the one you have. What do you suppose that means? You are creating a perception of a more successful and talented person because you want someone to have a different opinion of you. Now, there's certainly solid strategic value in looking the part, so to speak. But the deeper lesson is about becoming the person you want by metaphorically putting on the clothes or wearing the hat. It suggests that conducting yourself, learning, growing, and changing in preparation, anticipation of getting the job you want is better to become the person you want to be. It's the surest path to make it the reality. You know, I run a women's outreach program called Beyond Wow, and we hold job-seeking workshops for women several times a year. Part of that project is a professional women's closet full of items all appropriate for a job interview. And women come to the workshop, and they spend time learning more about themselves, their interests, their strengths, their weaknesses. And then we help them feel confident. And a part of that is being prepared and looking the part. Time and time again, I have seen long faces and slumped shoulders turned into arched backs and big smiles. When they came in, their perception is that they weren't good enough, or they had too many mistakes, or no one would really want to hire them. But when they left, they felt renewed, hopeful, resourceful, and confident. We put smiles on their faces. And smiling, as an act, has real benefits. It might just help you achieve more success, like at work. So your own positive feelings can influence others, whether they are colleagues or members of your own family. This is called emotional contagion, according to Sigel Barside, an expert on how positive and negative emotions can affect others. She says, largely unconsciously, we catch the emotions of people around us like viruses. Barside is a professor at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and she says, it's hardwired into us. We mimic the facial expressions of others, but we also feel the emotions, and we take them on as our own. Smiling can help bring on a happier atmosphere, which is more likely to bring positive results, particularly at work. If you regularly walk into a room smiling with high energy, you're much more likely to create a culture of joy than if you were wearing a neutral expression, so to speak. You know that happens. You walk into a room and your eyes are bright and you're smiling. You just feel confident and positive, and people are looking at you thinking, what in the world is going on with her? She's got something going on. I need to get a part of that. I need to see what's going on with her. So it can be your first foot in a door. Just a big smile, bright face, ready to go. Now, are you ready to take the bull by the horns? Now, I'm not even sure where that term comes from, but it sounds pretty dangerous. But are you ready? Then why do we wait around for something to happen before we go for it? We wait to be anointed before we take action. For example, we only become a manager after receiving the promotion, or we settle down after we get married. We embrace responsibility only after our first child is born. Certainly, many of us have experienced being thrown into the fire like this, but learning on the job. But it's not the easiest path or the one that leads to the most reliable success. I'll get serious about studying when I get to college. I'll start giving to a charity once I get my debt paid off. I'll be more responsible once I turn 25. I'll start really putting in the effort once they finally promote me. Do any of these sound familiar? In every case, that person would be better prepared for a future date if they started living like that now, living as if they were already there. Have the job you want to have now. Start taking those responsibilities. Step outside the box. Assert yourself. Take charge. Take the bull by the horns before you're actually given the opportunity. This can really help pave your way. Sometimes the desire to be perceived differently can go too far. I know we know that this can happen, and I'm sure you've witnessed it as well. To their own detriment, people are buying bigger houses, faster cars, getting plastic surgery, expensive wardrobes. It's easy to see the kind of reality that they're hoping to personify. Has your own perception been distorted? Does that sound familiar? You have an idea in your mind, something you believe to be true. You then give more focus to the evidence that helps support your idea versus any contrary, right? We're always looking for people that believe like we believe because we know what we're talking about. So we start cherry picking through the crowd to see who's going to be on our side. A great example of this is actually politics. Do you really believe in every case presented, or are you just sticking to your alignment? This is called confirmation bias. When you have a theory or an idea in your head, you tend to look for other examples or situations to support that idea. For example, if you believe you are lucky whenever you wear your red sweatshirt, you're likely to focus on the times that's true and discount the times where you weren't lucky, but you were wearing the same t-shirt. One way of changing your perception is to check the evidence. Challenge it. This is the way you can see if it's actually factual. Find a way to count or otherwise test out your thoughts in a more objective way. So maybe your brother actually spends as much time talking with you as he does your older sister. Maybe your husband puts his clothes away one out of three times instead of never. You know, once we've formed a view, we embrace information that confirms that view, and we ignore and reject the information that doesn't. I know you're racking your brain right now and thinking about all the times that you're actually guilty of this. Maybe you use generalization to distort your perception. Do you use words like always or every time? I'm always or every time. If you have a negative reaction to a person, place, or thing, does it change your perception about the next encounter? Try clarifying your experience and try to understand the reason behind an unfortunate event. Could it have just been a bad day, a faulty process, or some other sort of malfunction, and maybe it is only going to occur one time? Maybe it's not going to happen every time. How you view yourself could also affect these perceptions. If you view yourself as an angry person, then you might respond in a negative way, automatically, without even thinking about it. The opposite of that is if you view yourself as a caring individual, you might think about nurturing thoughts first. You could use this as a self-mantra to establish a healthier physical and emotional self. So even if you don't think this way, you can make yourself think this way. Like, I'm not the kind of person who eats sweets. Or, I'm not the kind of person who sweats the small stuff. You could coax yourself into believing these perceptions. I'm going to try that. I'm the kind of person who wants to exercise every day. I'm going to start saying that every day. Let's see if that goes somewhere. Maybe you suffer from runaway what-ifs. Do you do that? Does that distort your perception? You know, stop the story where the facts end. I say that all the time, but boy, it's so true. Your mind can run away with what ifs, and your perception of the situation can be contingent on a made-up ending, something you made up. Be okay with the unknown and acceptive of the process. Like, it hasn't finished yet. You don't know everything. You can't predict everything. So stop trying. This is really hard because we want to finish a story. We want to fill in blanks. We want to have a resolution or a conclusion. But the fact is, it's still developing. So, what ifs? Stop the story where the fact ends. You can also distort perception by reconstructing memories. Memories that you might have forgot. Your memories of the past can be influenced by interactions and situations that are even occur after the event. When there are gaps in your memory, you tend to fill them up, right? And you can fill those memories with what other people say. So other people, whether it's logical or illogical, can help fill in those blanks. And all of a sudden, you have a different story, totally different perception. For example, if you were best friends with someone at the time and you got into a big argument and it really severed that relationship, and then years after that, when you reflect back and remember, you'll remember not being as close as you actually were. You know, you are changing the story based on your perception. A lighter side would be an old fish story. You know how the fish always gets bigger and badder with every rendition. But more facts about the day may be skewed, as well as some struggles to complete the whole story. It's based on what other people want to interject, and that becomes your memory. Distorted perception. How about the way you perceive a type of person or a group of people? You know, you can tend to believe one group can be similar in one way, and then they're similar in all ways, but that isn't the case. Let's say you have a negative experience with a certain type of person or gender or race or status. Do you react with that same preconceived bias when you're faced with a similar situation? You know, aren't we all quick to judge? Okay, maybe you don't think of it as judgment.
Are you a people watcher?
I am. So I love to sit at the airport and watch people. Everyone else is on their phones, but I'm watching and I'm creating my own stories about who they are, where they came from, and where they're going. But isn't that judgment? Couldn't my stories be created from preconceived perceptions? Like, she's tall, beautiful, killer outfit, and a big ring. She must be married to a pro football player. He's young, two small kids, traveling alone. He must be divorced, and he's taking his kids home for the holidays. I've got a gazillion of them. Let's go back to what Eckhart Tolle said in the beginning of the show. Words reduce reality to something the human mind can grasp, which isn't much. So we are going to think about that. We'll leave that on an Eckhart Tolle, which he's so deep and has so much to say. And we are going to take another musical break and listen to the last song tonight. Again, we've been featuring Curtis Petrell. In his own words, when it comes to music, the same thing drives me today that did when I first picked up drumsticks at age 9. I just absolutely love to make good noise. Music is a comfort when things are bad, a celebration when things are good. It's an art as well as a science. It is a way to bring people together. All my best friends are people I met through music. In all, for me, playing music is an inherent drive that I hope will always be there, simply because I truly love doing it. Currently, Curtis is finishing up a new full-length album scheduled to launch this summer. And this next song, called Over the Next Hill, is available on SoundCloud.
Trying to find your head, and you're so confused, and you're tired too, and you don't know what to do. Over the next hill, though the wind is cold and shrill, there's something better over the next hill. Thought you were a goner, but you got lucky instead. You've been running from yourself. It was all inside your head. You've been so consumed, inspired to take a look into the future, the past behind you. Though the night is growing darker still, there's something better over the next hill. Though the wind is cold and shrill, there's something better over the next hill.
Better
Welcome back to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for sticking with me. It has been a wonderful show. I'm really excited about the powerful perceptions and breaking through those, cutting through that. And we've also, again, featured Curtis Petrell. I hope you will look him up on iTunes and also SoundCloud. Now, you know, some of us get stuck in a cycle of no. And without even listening to a question or an opportunity, we just say no. We have these preconceived notions of what you're going to say. Maybe a hard callus is formed over time, or of always getting something wrong or being let down, and our knee-jerk is now no. How much are you missing by not listening? Listening fully to the question or the opportunity and really considering your options? Richard Branson said, if someone offers you an amazing opportunity and you're not sure you can do it, say yes. Then learn how to do it later. I love that one, and I always do that. Yes has magic within it. So often we're afraid of life. We fear failure. We anticipate the worst. We don't know what to expect. In doing so, and often by saying no to opportunities, we reject many of life's brilliant chances. The power of yes and no. So we're going to recap the show. We went over a lot today. You know, hopefully you were able to see a few things in there that you could identify with and things that you might want to break through and change your perception. Perception is reality. You can see now that really is true. You know, we talked about judging a book by its cover. You can't always judge a book by its cover. And I've seen that for one. So what you might think about a person may not be true at all. How you view yourself is not true. You know, these are limiting beliefs that you form as a child. How can you break through that? You're not good enough. You're not worthy of that. How can we break through that limiting belief? Well, we talked a little bit about that, what we could do to change those perceptions. Some of the things we can do is write them down. Put them out there, just like goals. Put perceptions down there in black and white so that you can see exactly what you're dealing with. Maybe you have one as you get older, you know, you really start to question some of the things that you've always done. Maybe that's a good chance when something pops into your head and you think, I wonder why I believe that. I don't even remember where that came from. Write it down and challenge it. You know, acknowledge them. After you write them down, acknowledge what is not true. It's okay to be wrong. That's not a big deal. That's actually very healthy. I might have been wrong about that. I'm gonna try to look at it a different way. And then try on a new belief. How you could really open up your eyes and your mind and your heart to something else. And once you try a new belief, take action, a different direction. You know, not just think about it. It's really time to elicit change and take a step forward in that new direction. Remember what Tony Robbins said, you always succeed in producing a result. What kind of result do you want to produce? You know, reframing was a great exercise that we talked about. It is so important. And it takes practice because it's easy to get pulled in to just a negative way of thinking or, again, a limiting belief. How could you reframe that context or content, turn it around, and maybe utilize the strengths within that, the opportunities? What did you learn through that? Rachel Hollis told us about maybe life is happening for you instead of to you. It's really something I'm going to take with me this week and really think about what is happening for me. You know, we talked about looking and feeling the part. What kind of perception do you want others to have of you? We talked about smiles are contagious. Try that on tomorrow at work. Walk in differently, not rushed and upset about the night before or lack of sleep or how the kids stepped in your way as you were trying to get out the door. Walk in with a smile, bright-eyed, see if that changes their perception. We talked about confirmation bias, believing something and then looking for evidence to support that, you know, trying to find a tribe that believes what you do.
maybe you should challenge that and find some conflicting ideas. Really widen your circle. We talked about not generalizing or filling in the blanks or reconstructing memories. What ifs? Stop the story. You know, those are really dangerous perceptions. And we get stuck in just believing the same thing. It's like a hamster wheel. But maybe go back and remember as much as you can, and then that's good enough. You don't have to fill in the blanks. We also talked about the power of yes and no, and how we can reframe that. Turn your no's into yeses. So I challenge you to, I challenge you and your perception. Be open to differing opinions and ideas. Ask yourself, is this what I think, or is this what I know to be true? Be aware of how the how you present yourself. Be aware of how you present your ideas and your wants. Those could also be skewed. So be bold and clear to personify your desires. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Someone threw until the path was clear.